I'd like to read a few verses in the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father, we pray now that you'll give us understanding hearts as we come to consider these words spoken by the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful that in this word written we can find him, the word living, that we might know him personally, that we might understand thy truth, that we might come out of darkness and into light and have the gift of life eternal. We're praying that you'll bless us now as we think for a moment upon thy word and the application of it to our lives. And we pray that you'll help us daily, that we might understand the seriousness of being morally responsible, eternal creatures who live in thy world, who have a responsibility to thee. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We've read a rather familiar portion tonight of what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And one verse in particular, the 33rd verse, in which the Lord Jesus Christ said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's just been speaking about the many necessities of life which command so much of our time and attention. He's speaking of things without which humanity cannot survive. And yet he brought the focus of all these temporal needs, as far as this life is concerned, down to one principal axiom. When he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are various ways to consider this passage, but I want to think of it tonight in terms of a practical application of that statement to Christian education, and to this graduating class in particular, and the kinds of things that they need to consider as they go from one environment to another. Graduation is always a time of mixed emotions. It marks a transition from a world of relative fantasy into a world of reality. In the real world, people don't go to school every day. They don't come home to a house where someone else buys the food and pays the bill. In the real world, life does not consist of algebra tests and spelling lessons and experiments in physics. Those kinds of things are a rather temporary portion of anybody's life. So for that reason, as I address the graduates of Calvary Christian School tonight, I want to remind you of some of the more permanent aspects of your experience here. Education, by any standard, is a rather subjective discipline. Perhaps the most amazing factor, as we look at 12 years of education, is not how much children learn, but rather how little. You wonder how they could spend 12 years in school and come out not knowing a great deal more than they do. Someone has well said, youth is such a wonderful time, it's a shame that it has to be wasted on the young. You never appreciate just what it means until after the opportunity is already gone. And I think this is especially true when it comes to educational opportunities. As we look back nostalgically to the time in which we were given opportunity to have an education, most of us would have to say that we didn't do much with it. And as you go from this school, I want you to remember one fact, one primary fact about education. The secret to becoming an educated man or woman is the desire to know. Some people achieve that desire at a relatively early age. For others, they don't come into that kind of understanding, that kind of maturity, until they're in their early or late 20s, or even later sometimes. But what you've received here is a set of tools. The work is not finished. The work has just begun. Education in America is in chaos today because education has departed from the kind of thinking that made this nation great. The idea that there are certain basic tools that must be mastered, relatively simple tools. The tools of education are reading and writing and basic mathematics, and of course that desire to know. But if you have those tools, with a little bit of work, you can put most of the human race to shame. That's because most people are lazy by nature. Most people don't have much of a desire to know. Most people are ignorant because they choose to be ignorant. They don't use correct English, not because it's so difficult to master English, but because they don't choose to use correct English. They don't read because they don't choose to read. It's not that they can't do it. And in this nation, we're blessed with libraries. We're blessed with schools of higher education, with technical opportunities for training. There are endless possibilities to learn anything that you want to learn, as long as you have that desire to know. All that's left is to take the tools and go to work. Your training up to this point in time has been gaining the tools, working on the basics. But now, you must consider the fact that you're stepping out into a new set of circumstances. But it's not the end of your education. Because if you have the desire to know, if you have an awareness of what life is really all about, you understand that every day is a day for education. Every day is a class in the use of correct English as you speak and hear other people speak. Every day is a class in human psychology as you deal with yourself and with other human beings. Every day is a history lesson because tomorrow it will be history. It's not too long before you can look back on your life and see that some of the most significant events of history have taken place in your lifetime. The secret to becoming an educated man or woman is the desire to know. A second more permanent thought concerning the time you spent at Calvary Christian School is this. You need to leave this place reflecting on the value of Christian character. You spent a lot of time here, not only on academics, but being taught Christian character. Being taught that the Bible is the standard for right and wrong. You've been taught about submission to authority, about citizenship responsibilities. You've been taught about submission to the law of the land. You've been taught about honesty and morality and all the kinds of principles that go to make up the traits of Christian character. But I would suggest to you that you find yourselves in a relatively unique position, because your education in the realm of Christian character has gone beyond the lecture in the classroom. I want you to remember the value of Christian character after you leave this place. Remember the value of it in another form. For example, long after you have forgotten the chapel messages that you heard, you're going to remember the principal, Mr. Creech. Long after you've forgotten the lectures that you heard in the classroom, you're going to remember your teachers. One of the facts of life is that we learn far more by example than we do by rote. And what you've been learning here is some lessons through living examples of Christian character. Now, it is true that teachers have faults, that they make mistakes. So do your parents. So do your friends. So do the people with whom you'll work and live. So do you. But as you grow older, as you reflect on this experience, I want to offer you a challenge. I want you to see if you can find a group of people anywhere, in the family, on the job, in the community, in any church you might attend. See if you can find a group of people anywhere who love the Lord and believe the Bible and work more diligently and pray more faithfully and sacrifice more willingly and loved you more sincerely than the teachers here in the school. I don't believe you'll find them. It is true that everybody has defects in their personalities. But if you add the pluses and you take away the minuses, if you do that in the life of every person that you meet, overall you're going to find that you have been subjected to Christian character of a quality that you have never seen before and you'll never see again. And if you duplicate that character in your own life, then you're going to find that the Lord can be proud of. The third thing I want to ask you to remember is the importance of the will of God. Everybody's different. Each one of us is made directly from the hand of God. We have varying degrees of intellect. We have varying degrees of physical ability. But the importance of the will of God that you need to remember is this. God never asked you to be in competition with the rest of the world. When he brought you into the world and made you a person, he didn't ask you to prove your superiority to other people. You don't have to be the smartest or the strongest or the richest or the most famous in order to be successful. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not the way the reality of life is as we see it in the Word of God. A fundamental principle of Christian education is that you don't put a one-legged man in a race against an Olympic athlete and ask him why he came in last. That's what society does. You don't put a child with an IQ of 80 up against a child with an IQ of 140 and castigate him for not being the top man in the class. You see, the world has artificial standards. Money, power, intellectual capacity. But when you start looking at the artificial standards of this world, you discover that the intellectuals would starve to death in 6 months if it weren't for the working man. You come to the conclusion that those in power very often got there by corrupt means. You finally get the impression that quite often a rich man is a fool who just happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right gimmick. Those are artificial standards. The Lord asked one thing of you. He asked you to be the best that you can be with what He's given you. That's what the will of God is all about. To be the best that you can be with what the Lord has given you. No competition with any other human being on earth. All that's required is the will of God for your life. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. So you need to remember that the key to continuing education is the desire to know. You need to remember the value of Christian character. You need to remember the importance of the will of God. And the last thing you need to remember is the necessity for personal salvation. I spoke at a high school graduation, a small Christian school of about 150 students down in Bladen County about 3 weeks ago. They had two graduates. And of the two graduates, one of them had leukemia. He's not expected to live more than 6 months. He's not going to have much opportunity to live the Christian life, to do whatever it was he had in mind to do. He's going to have to get all his living done in the next 6 months. And that's not an unusual occurrence as we look at life generally, as we look at what happens to people overall in society. The Bible says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Over 50 years ago, the president of Harvard University was addressing the graduates. He said, "Young men, I could speak to you of many things, but I must say this. Know Christ, trust Him as your Savior, and the great work of your life is done." Harvard University is not like that anymore. America is not like that anymore. These are times when men and women have drifted with the times. They've raised the anchor of our Christian heritage and they've sailed off into the sunrise of a new day. It's a day of amazing technology, but it's also a day of pseudo-intellectual unbelief. It's a day of prosperity. But it's also a day of country club religion that means absolutely nothing. It's just as artificial as the people who have it. We're living in a day when the world stands on the brink of financial and moral and global chaos. So you better not forget what you learned at this school. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It'd be a terrible thing to dedicate your life to mankind, to go out and be some great physician or some great attorney or some great humanitarian or some great businessman and die and lose your soul forever. And that's going to happen to great multitudes of people. It's going to happen because there's a tremendous amount of pride that permeates the human heart in this generation. We've come to believe that man can do anything. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible teaches that mankind is on a collision course, that there's going to be destruction, and that ultimately the only hope is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't believe that. But you're living in a nation that was founded on that belief. You're living in a community, in a state, in a nation where the churches on every corner were founded on those beliefs. And the fact that what those churches believe today is not what our forefathers believed is immaterial. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And to lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. At Calvary Christian School, each one of you has had an opportunity not afforded to 90% of the young people in this nation. And that is a chance to hear the gospel as our forefathers believed it. An opportunity to see your need, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. And that is the great necessity in the life of each one of you. You know that our business here is not to force religion on anybody. But our business is also to make eternal life available to everybody. And that's exactly what we do through the Word of God. It's something that has been made real to your mind by the preaching of the Word of God, by the presentation of the reality of salvation in the lives of the people who've taught you and some of the people you've gone to school with. The Lord has provided this opportunity for you to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to have eternal life and know it. But of course, ultimately, what you've done with that opportunity is between you and the Lord. In closing, just let me say this to you parents. Many of you have been with us in some trying times for Christian education. We've been in the North Carolina Supreme Court several times, the U.S. Supreme Court, the General Assembly of North Carolina. The liberal press has attacked parental rights and Christian liberty, and me personally, with unfailing determination. But ultimately, we've won every Christian education issue that we've raised in the General Assembly of North Carolina. 3 weeks ago, we won a unanimous decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington. You won't read much about that in the paper. But we appreciate so much your willingness to stand with us, to believe in Christian schools, even in the heat of the battle when there wasn't any victory in sight. In these days of tremendous financial pressure, you've made an investment in the lives of your children which shall not be unrewarded with the passage of the years. Let's bow together as we pray. Our Father, we're grateful that we have a firm foundation in the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that in these days when, just as the Lord Jesus predicted, men's hearts are failing for fear, for looking after the things that are coming upon the earth. We're thankful that we can know that Thy Word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. That in it we can find not only the message of eternal life, but also the methods by which You would have us live day by day, that we might have a life that pleases Thee, one that's eternally profitable. Now we do pray that You'll be with these young people, that You'll impress upon their minds and hearts indelibly many of the things that they've learned in the course of the time that they've been here. And we pray that as they go from this place, that You'll help them, that they might go knowing that they've trusted the Lord as their Savior, ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. And we pray it all in our Savior's name. Amen.